And now it's time for us to get into the Word of God. It is time, once again, for the Morning Munch, where we take time out of every day to get into God's Word to encourage you and strengthen you. We've been looking at the events of Jesus' final week as we're heading into up to Easter. And so looking at some of the things that happened and occurred after Jesus came into the city. And one of the things that occurred on that final night was the Lord's Supper. That Jesus on the final night, of course, he was gathered together with his disciples and celebrated the Last Supper and instituted the ordinance or sacrament, depending on your tradition, of communion. And in Matthew chapter 26, we get the story of that. But it's interesting what surrounds that story. Because this is the last night. They're celebrating the Passover meal. Jesus is gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover, during which time he's going to announce the writing of a new covenant, a covenant written with his blood. And in fact, let's just read a little bit of that story, then we'll talk about what's surrounding that. In verse 26 of chapter 26 of Matthew, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So he's instituting the new covenant. He's saying this is the new covenant that's going to be written in my blood to replace the old covenant, a greater covenant, a covenant of grace, not of works. It is a momentous moment. He's announcing everything that he's done, that in a moment he's going to shed his blood and a few short hours, he'll be shedding his blood upon the cross for the forgiveness of sins, the writing of a new covenant, and the promise of our restoration to him. It's a powerful moment, but when you look at the whole of chapter 26 and see what surrounds it, I think it gives context and helps us understand what's really happening here. Chapter 26 of Matthew begins with the plot against Jesus. Matthew begins chapter 26 by telling the disciples that he's going to be crucified. He says, Passover's 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. All right, so he's telling them this right up front. And then we're told that the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace, and they put together a plot to try to arrest Jesus, and in some sly way, kill him. Jesus then goes to Bethany, where he's anointed, where the woman anoints him, pours perfume over him, and Jesus says, I'm being anointed for, prepare me for my burial. She's preparing me for my death. Then we have Judas agreeing to betray Jesus, making his deal with the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver to turn Jesus over. And then immediately after the Lord's Supper in Matthew's account, there's Jesus predicting that all the disciples will fall away from him. And of course, Peter denying, saying, no, not me. Even if all these fall away, I never will. And Jesus saying, yes, before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And then they head out to the Garden of Gethsemane and he rested. But you look at what surrounds him, what surrounds the story of the new covenant. There's his prediction of his death, the plot to kill him. He's being anointed by the woman, and Jesus says, I'm being anointed for my burial. Judas agreeing to betray him. Peter, and then the prediction of his denial and that all the disciples will fall away. The whole chapter, I mean, you read it, it's really kind of a depressing chapter. It's all betrayal, murder, plots, death, abandonment. Everyone around Jesus is failing. The legal authorities of the day are trying to kill him. One of his own disciples is betraying him. The rest of the disciples will abandon him. His most trusted disciple, his leader, will deny him. And what's Jesus' response to all these outrages? To announce that he's getting ready to shed his blood for them. To die for their behalf. And for their sake. And for their sins. All these things you're doing to me in a few moments, I'm going to make right on the cross. It's an amazing thing. It truly is. And I think it puts into context and a reminder of what made the sacrifice of Jesus so necessary. Because nobody really looks good in this chapter except Jesus and the woman who anoints him. Everybody looks bad here. The religious leaders, his own followers, everybody. Even the woman who anoints him gets criticized. How wasteful this is. And yet these are the very people that Jesus is dying for. The people that are plotting against him, the people that want to kill him, the people that will betray him, the people that will abandon him, the people that will deny him, his enemies and friends alike, and he's going to die for all of them. It really gives us a picture of how undeserving we are of the sacrifice of Christ and how great and mighty is his love for us. That despite all of this, I mean, nobody in this story looks like they're worth dying for. Nobody. We look terrible in this. Humanity comes off horribly here. This sorry bunch of so-and-sos, they don't deserve grace, mercy from God. All they do is prove what an utter bunch of failures we are and sinners. But I love this story because it shows that God knows exactly what he was doing and exactly who he was doing it for. He's under no illusions that somehow we're decent and deserving. He understands that there is no one who is righteous, no, not one. And yet he gives himself for us. He makes the sacrifice. He writes the covenant. He sheds his blood because despite all of this, he loves us. And he knows we can be better in him. He knows this is what you are, but it is not what you will be. I'm going to make everything new. And one day all this will be behind us. And we'll stand together in my glorious kingdom and rejoice and delight and celebrate forever. That's the hope. It's the reality of Holy Week. It's the reality of Easter. It's the reality of Resurrection Sunday. It's also the hope of it. The reality is kind of ugly, but the hope is the most beautiful thing in the world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you, Lord, as we see here on display how undeserving we were and yet how loving you are, how gracious and how merciful. We do not deserve it. We certainly have not earned it, but we thank you for it, Lord, that by your grace and by your hand, we are healed. You are so good to us. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, this day. We give you all glory and pray this in your name. Amen. Well, in addition to being your affable and gracious morning show host, I'm also a pastor of a church here in the area called Gateway Baptist Church, and we meet at 6047 Door Street. Of course, obviously, under the current conditions, things have changed a little bit. The second and fourth Wednesday of every month, we give away food, groceries to people in need. You don't need to pre-sign up. You're pre-registered. You can just show up and get you registered there. You do need a valid ID, and we'll get you registered. And you can find out, we do this in partnership with Feed Greater Toledo. You can find them on their Facebook page, Feed Greater Toledo, and see they do other food pantries throughout the area as well as ours. But that's available the second and fourth Wednesday of every month, and we do that generally between 4 and 5. And if you want more information, go to our website, gatewaytoledo.com.